listening to CinemaJaw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on location at the Original Mothers in Chicago. My name's Matt Kay, and with me is...
Ry, the movie guy. And this week on CinemaJaw, Matt, we are taking an in-depth look at the careers of Bill Murray and Robert Duvall.
Titans among men.
Yes, they are. And they have a new film out on DVD called Get Low. And me and Matt are going to be checking this one out shortly. It came out today, so probably by the next podcast, we'll have a review for it.
Yeah, I was disappointed it's not already on instant streaming for Netflix, but they got to really get on the ball over there at Netflix.
That's what I hear. It's a great option to have, but they don't have a ton of new features.
They get them occasionally. It's a bunch of deals that they got to make with the studios and yada yada.
Sure. So besides going in-depth on Bill Murray and Robert Duvall, we are going to have DVD reviews for you of Red and Please Give. And what'd you catch, Matt?
Beer Wars.
Beer Wars.
Yes.
Nice. Can't wait to hear that review. Full show. Plus, we got Chris from Yes Vodka joining us.
Yep. Indeed.
So, this is going to be awesome, man. Let's get started. Eye for an eye, Matt. New film opening up, Rango. This animated film stars a chameleon that aspires to be a swashbuckling hero. He finds himself in a western town plagued by bandits and is forced to literally play the role in order to protect it. Rango the Chameleon is voiced by Johnny Depp. This film is produced by Nickelodeon Movies, and it will mark the first animated feature film to be done by Industrial Light and Magic.
Really?
During voice recording, the actors were given full costumes and sets to help them give the feel of the old Wild West. Matt, interested or ignore on Rango?
I'm pretty interested, yeah. Definitely.
So am I. I saw the preview a couple months back, and I was totally blown away. It looks like a different take, a little bit more adult humor used on this one. And then I seen a little featurette of Johnny Depp talking about creating this. And yeah, he's in costume, they're running around. Looks like they had a lot of fun making it. And I want to see what Industrial Light and Magic can do with an animated full-length feature like this.
Yeah, maybe we'll be hearing more out of ILM, you know, not just doing the special effects.
I agree. So I am giving it an interested as well.
It's a twofer.
Yeah, two interesteds for Rango. There's another new movie opening up, Matt, called The Adjustment Bureau. Do we control our own destiny? Or do unforeseen forces manipulate us? The affair between a politician, David, and a ballerina, Elise, is affected by the agents of fate itself, the men of the Adjustment Bureau, who will do everything in their considerable power to prevent David and Elise from being together. In the face of overwhelming odds, he must either let her go and accept a predetermined path, or risk everything to defy faith and be with her. The film stars Matt Damon and Emily Blunt. Matt, interested or ignore on the Adjustment Bureau?
And then she slowly transforms into the Black Swan. I don't know, man. I'm sort of on the fence. Yeah. Ignore.
Yeah, I could tell in your voice you were giving an ignore. If you go a little ways back to our fall movie preview, this was actually one of my picks, and the film got bumped back now to a March release.
That's never a good sign, Ry.
Never a good sign, but because I don't know why when I see this, it gives off a little bit of a Dark City vibe, like these men of the Adjustment Bureau can stop time and mess with us. I like that concept. I'm still going to stick my head out on a limb here and say, I'm interested.
All right.
So we split on the Adjustment Bureau. Strong interesteds on Rango.
Right. How come we've overlooked a very important film that has come out in the cinema and that we haven't even discussed? Gnomeo and Juliet.
Ooh, yes. Gnomeo and Juliet. We did not do Eye for an Eye. That might have been one of the weeks we were off. I don't know. But did you see this film?
No, I haven't seen it yet. But I got to say, I'm really interested. I think it's original. How about you?
I'm going to give that one an ignore.
Big surprise. Just not into lawn gnomes, huh?
Yeah. I'll be honest. It does look semi-interesting. I don't know enough about it, and I saw the one commercial, and I thought, I'm going to ignore. I'll let Matt tell me what that one's about.
All right. I'll let you know.
But neither of these films that we just mentioned, Rango or The Adjustment Bureau, have Robert Duvall or Bill Murray in it.
Travesty.
And that is going to be our in-depth feature. But before we get there, let's bring our guest on. Matt, you know Chris.
I do. I get to work with this guy, Chris, and he's become a good friend. So, Chris, welcome. And I just found out a little while ago that his full name is actually Christmas Stories.
Do explain, Matt.
Well, that's his name. It's Christmas Stories, so there you go. It's Christmas Stories.
It was a very cruel joke on my parents.
Yeah. I was not going to let that one go by and not talk about it.
As you shouldn't, as you shouldn't.
Chris, welcome to Cinema Jaw.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
I can't believe I've been friends with you for like a year now, and I never picked up on the whole Christmas Stories thing. Did you get a lot of, you know, stuff for that in high school? They pick on you?
Middle school, all the formative years of my life, yes, have been ridiculed, especially around that November, you know, Thanksgiving time, all the way through through the holiday.
I don't think I ever would have realized it if you hadn't told me. So,
how do you properly say your last name before we keep going on with
it? It's pronounced Mastoris.
Okay.
Very good Greek name. But a couple of hyphens and fluctuations on the E, and you get Christmas Stories.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. Kids are
it
cruel.
It is what it is. They are. But Chris actually is what's your full title at Yes Vodka?
Market manager here in Illinois with Yes Vodka. We are a home-based company. We've been at this. The whole project has been about a six-year project, two of those years to find the recipe, bottle importation license that we all needed to bring our product to the States. It's distilled and imported in Holland, from Holland, excuse me. Actually, two of our founders were instrumental in bringing Stolichnaya to the United States. In the 70s, they
Stoli
worked...
Stoli to all you Stoli, uninitiated.
Excuse me, yes.
Sure.
In the 70s, they worked for PepsiCo, and they traded Pepsi syrup with the Russian government for Stolichnaya vodka. And that's how Stoli basically came to the United States.
That sounds like a backroom deal right there.
Of course, of course.
Nice.
So our first project was going to be a Russian vodka because of the relationships that we had there. And again, the backroom deals, they wouldn't give us ownership outright. So we went on our good way to find a different distiller and finally found our guy in Holland. And it's been a beautiful marriage ever since.
It's delicious vodka, man.
Yes,
I mean,
thank you.
I'm not just saying that. I genuinely enjoy it. You know, it's good stuff.
Yeah. The difference really is we're a clean, smooth, no-burn vodka. That burn you expect on the back of your palate just completely dissipates. So it's a true drinking vodka.
This is a perfect vodka for a vodka martini, then.
Of course. Of course.
Which, Rye, you drink, right?
I do. Love my martinis.
We're going to have to get you one over here shortly.
Yeah, we're going to enjoy some Yes Vodka for sure on this podcast.
Yes.
That's just a
no
given.
Pun intended. Yes.
It's got a great brand name, too. You know, there's a lot of wordplay that you have with it. We focus on kind of some avant-garde kind of stuff in our marketing campaign with the play of the word yes with the word sex. So, you know, you guys remember the old good old Sex and the City show and the two movies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unfortunately.
Yeah. One of our cosmopolitan recipes is a Yes in the City.
Nice.
And basically, it's a cosmopolitan with a champagne floater on top. So, it's,
well done.
You know, you can always, there's always some fun and some energy that we put into the
Sure,
brand.
And it's not difficult to make the Y in Yes look like a martini glass.
And there you go.
This guy's genius.
You're hired.
Well, I saw you guys had a flashy Facebook page. People can go to you, Yes Vodka, and like the Facebook page?
That's very true. We're very heavy on social media. Right now, we're actually giving away, if you like us and fill out a couple questionnaire, you're registered to win a trip to Vegas right now.
Sweet.
After every 5,000 fans we have, we give away an iPad to a random selected winner. Prize packs are, I think, every 250 fans. So we're really trying to get the good word of Yes out.
Awesome. So all our jaw heads out there listening, go to Yes Vodka and like them, and you may win an iPad or who knows what.
And if you need a chaperone to Las Vegas, please let me know. That's Christmas Stories.
How could we forget?
That's awesome. So we're going to be drinking our PBR as usual and also our Yes Vodka on this episode of Cinema Jaw.
Match made in heaven.
So if we start slurring our words near the end, everybody knows why.
Yeah, they already know why, Rye.
Yeah, but Chris here is joining us. He's going to be discussing the career of Bill Murray and also Robert Duvall and chiming in and playing trivia at the end of this episode versus Matt Kay. It's
Bobby and Billy, as I like to say.
Yeah.
These two are just tremendous.
Who do you want to hit up first here, Matt?
I don't know. I was thinking we could kind of go back and forth, honestly.
Ooh, wow. All right. Well, we'll start with some facts about Bill Murray.
Let's hear him.
All right. 6'2" he stands, Bill Murray.
Jeez.
Yes. Born September 21st, 1950. He is 60 years old, Matt. He has 8 brothers and sisters. He's been married twice and has 6 children. Get this interesting tidbit. He has only made one sequel, and that was Ghostbusters 2.
Wow.
Yes, he has one Oscar nomination, and that was for Lost in Translation.
I just caught that the other night. It's surprising how good of a movie that is.
It's a really good movie.
Yeah.
It's a
Love
great movie.
Love that film. Wonder if it's going to come up. I don't know on maybe underrated or a best of. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, yeah. That's something we should let Chris in on.
Of course. Now that we're midway through the episode.
Yeah.
Sure.
So for Bobby and Billy, you got to pick their best, your opinion, best, worst, and most underrated film.
Okay.
All right.
I like that.
All right. So I'll get started here with Bill Murray. What do you want to do first? Is most underrated, Matt?
Okay, sure.
All right. For his most underrated, and I actually have a clip here that we're going to play as well. I got 1991's What About Bob? Of course, he plays Bob Wiley, a mental patient of Dr. Leo Marvin, played masterfully by Richard Dreyfuss, tracks down the doctor at his summer home while his family is out on vacation. The film's fun from start to finish. I laugh constantly, and if I'm not laughing, I'm just sitting there with a big smile on my face waiting for the next big funny scene. Love this film by Bill Murray.
I absolutely love it, too, man. That's a great pick. I don't know if it's underrated or not. It got some pretty high praise.
And don't get me wrong. It's tough to pick an underrated Bill Murray film because all of his are high praise. I mean, he doesn't sneak under the radar very often.
That's true.
And here is a clip, actually. This is one of my favorite scenes. Right after Bob ruins Dr. Leo Marvin's television appearance with the Today Show, this is Dr. Leo Marvin's reaction right after.
Get out!
Is it something I said?
You've ruined my life! You've ruined my career! You've ruined my book! You've turned a perfectly peaceful house into an insane asylum! Get out!
Daddy! My God, Leo, what's gotten into you?
It was a disaster, Faye!
No, it wasn't! You were wonderful, sweetie!
You're fine, Dad!
Yeah! Why'd you need to kick Bob out of the house?
You think he's gone? He's not gone! That's the whole point! He's never gone!
Is this some radical new therapy?
You see?
Fantastic.
Oh, man. Yeah, I love that movie, dude. I'm looking it up. What is the wife's name? She was Olive Oil in Popeye. She was the wife in Shining.
Oh, man. She's fantastic in there. The whole cast is great. I mean, really, this is a film where, I mean, Bill Murray, who's always fantastic, is right on par in this movie is Richard Dreyfuss, who's not known for his comedy chops usually. And here he just pours it in and being the crazy doctor, just irritated constantly by Bob. It's the perfect match.
You know what? I was wrong. It's Julie Haggerty, who is Faye Marvin, his wife. And she was great in that
she
role.
Was, absolutely. So that was my underrated, but I agree, it is tough to pick an underrated Bill Murray film. What do you got on your list, Matt?
For most underrated, and you're right, dude, this is probably not an underrated film, but I don't think that it's put up on the pedestal high enough. It's one of my favorite films of all time. I haven't said that in a while, did you notice?
Yes, yes.
But I'm saying it again for this one, Groundhog's Day. I mean, this pops up again and again on CinemaJaw, and there's a good reason, dude. This is one of the greatest movies ever made, period.
There's no doubt. I had it listed. I had it listed as one of my alternatives for his best, because it is. It's a masterpiece of comedy.
Absolutely. I mean, if you haven't seen Groundhog's Day by now, there's something wrong with you.
You've probably been living underground next to Punxsutawney Phil.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, it's such a fantastic movie, and what's great is Jen started this tradition. I don't know when she started watching it. Every Groundhog's Day, she puts on Groundhog's Day. And Groundhog's Day was the day after the blizzard here in Chicago this past year.
That's right.
Which was a fantastic day to watch movies. So I watched it again just this past year. So it's very fresh in my memory. Love it, love it, love it.
You know what else for me? Groundhog's Day is my father's birthday.
Really?
Yeah. So it's a special day in our family. And I watch that movie every day on Groundhog's Day as well. In fact, I think they play it on TV on Groundhog's Day.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. One of my favorite parts is when, remember the really annoying insurance guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ned Ryerson?
Yes. Yeah. Ned?
Ned Ryerson? And he punches him in his face.
Yeah.
Watch that first step. It's a doozy. And I should know, too, we came across this fact. Jen had a coworker mention to her that there's a website out there that actually explains how many days he was actually trapped in Punxsutawney. Throughout all the times that he talks about, like, how long it would take him to actually learn how to carve ice, you know, yada, yada. And it's an astonishing number how long he's in there. It's
really?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Do you remember the URL?
I'll get it for you. We'll put it in the post.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, we'll have a link to it on
our
post.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, great pick, Matt. Great pick. That throws us over to Chris. Chris, have you had time to come up with an underrated Bill Murray film?
For me, thinking of underrated films for Bill Murray, because he's such a great comedian, and all his comedic films have been fantastic. I think for underrated, it would have to be Where the Buffalo Roam for me.
Haven't even seen it.
No, it's
nor have I. This is fantastic.
It's basically Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, but the first adaptation of. So it's, you know,
goes
over.
He plays Hunter S. Thompson. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, gonzo journalist Hunter S. Thompson. And we're about to talk about Johnny Depp a little bit later in the show. And it's funny that we're talking about Bill Murray and the connection between those two with this idea, I think, is quite unique. So that's my underrated pick.
Nice.
And a brilliant one. Good pick.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No doubt about it. I say we stick with Bill Murray. Let's just keep going with Bill Murray before we move to Robert Duvall.
Okay.
All right. All right. Now, everybody does make a bad movie. Bill Murray.
Sure. No
exception. I picked one out here.
I wonder.
This came in 2005. The film is called Broken Flowers.
I haven't seen this.
Now, here's the thing. He plays Don Johnston, a single man who gets mailed a pink note by a former girlfriend that he has a son. From there, he goes on a road trip to visit all his old flames and try to figure out / find his son. Sharon Stone pops up, as does Jui Delpy. The film came right after, about a year or two after Lost in Translation, after that brilliant performance that showed sort of the dramatic side of Bill Murray, and it tried to capitalize on that, and it was just a little too dramatic, a little too sort of drowned out, didn't show off really any comedy chops of Bill Murray. And I think it just sort of missed its mark. I went in with such high expectations. It was just let down by Broken Flowers.
Yeah, it sounds like a letdown. What was the one he did where he was the circus guy with the elephant? Oh, Larger Than Life, 1996. Another terrible Bill Murray movie.
Is that your pick?
That is not my pick.
Whoa.
Maybe it's Chris's pick. I don't know. My pick is Osmosis Jones.
I've never seen it.
Dude, it's you know, maybe kids would like it. I don't know. And maybe through my kid, Parker, one day I will learn to love this movie. But I've watched it, and it sucks. It's a Chris Rock, Bill Murray vehicle. It's an animated film. Basically, Bill Murray is doing some live-action, real-life stuff, and he eats a sandwich that's bad, and it's all about his digestive system fighting back and stuff. He's a bit player in the movie, I guess, but it's just, it's so terrible.
I thought you were going to say City of Ember, but then I remembered.
I liked it.
You liked it.
I did.
That was a foolish move of you.
No, good movie.
All right, those were two bad Bill Murrays we mentioned. Chris, you got a third one to add to the pile?
Yeah, I only lasted about maybe 8 minutes into this movie, but it was Garfield. And I know it's animated and everything like that, but, you know, in my eyes, I don't think that Bill Murray could ever be wanting for money. So there's really no reason for him to be doing this movie.
That's very true.
Unless it was for, you know, maybe he had a young child at the time or something like that, and it was something like that. But
do kids even like Garfield anymore? I mean, I don't think my wife does.
You know, for me, there's a connection because there was always the comic strip, you know, in the books. But never was there a bomb like this.
I really think, and I've actually seen the movie, I must be a case that Bill Murray thought it was going to come out a lot different.
Yeah.
One of those, as the writers were telling him and the director were explaining it to him, than what it really came out to be.
Well,
and I'm sure that happens a lot, but it was a total misfire.
You know what? Garfield is an iconic character. Like Chris was saying, it's been a part of Sunday morning traditions at the breakfast table for years and years. I mean, so maybe that's what he was thinking, but I remember the scene, the brilliant, brilliant cameo that Reno hates in Zombieland.
Yes.
Where he's I don't want to ruin it. Let's just say that he's giving his regrets in life. He's like, "Do you have any regrets?" He's like, "Maybe Garfield." That's brilliant.
Oh, it's fantastic. Fantastic. All right. And now on to his best. You've still got his best here. And because I figured that Groundhog Day would be mentioned, I had a backup, and that is 1998's Rushmore.
I knew you would pick this.
Yes.
I just knew
it. Well, I absolutely love Rushmore, the film, and it's partly because of Bill Murray. He plays Herman Bloom, who is in love with Rosemary Cross, the same woman Max Fisher is in love with. It's an American masterpiece as far as comedy goes. I absolutely love Wes Anderson. I can't say enough good things about this film. You watch it, and every single time I watch it, I think I like it even more the next time. You know, it's like, oh my God, it's even better than I thought. You can't go any higher on the 4-star scale, and this one's a 5.
It's a great, great film. Great film.
And I love the location of Rushmore and how it all revolves around the school. It's too fantastic.
She was my Rushmore, Rye.
Oh, yes. I love it.
Brilliant pick. That brings us to me?
Yes, it does.
All right. I'm not going to pretend to be somebody I'm not here. I could have picked a lot of films, but I think we all know Ghostbusters is my pick.
Indeed.
This is Dr. Peter Venkman. I learned to love. This was my first exposure to Bill Murray. I mean,
right, like
I caught him a couple of times on Saturday Night Live when I was very little. Mm-hmm. But Ghostbusters was the first movie for me that he did. And, you know, I have a special connection to that movie. And not no thanks in small part to that character, Peter Venkman, who is arguably the male hero lead, even though all three of them were equal parts. But Venkman was really the smart ass,
sure,
wise guy.
We came, we saw.
We kicked its ass.
You know, what's funny is I just heard Bill Murray on Howard Stern this week. First time he'd ever been on the show. And it was funny. They asked him about the script for Ghostbusters 3. And he sort of just blew it off. He said, it's been sitting at my house for months. I haven't even looked at it. Sounds like he really doesn't want to go back and,
you know,
and do it. I think it's above him at this point. He doesn't really need to do a Ghostbusters 3.
IMDb is listing it now.
I know, yeah, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm telling you, I heard the interview, and he's just like, well, we'll see. When I get to it, I get to it. But I'm in no rush to do Ghostbusters 3, he said.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I might have some information to the contrary. We'll talk about it at a later date.
Chris, it brings you over to your favorite Bill Murray.
Well, I'll have to agree with Matt with Ghostbusters.
It
is one of my favorites, hands down. You know, in my kind of line of work, there's a lot of downtime on the weekends, a lot of horizontal couch time. And for my money, it doesn't get any better than Ghostbusters. I could watch it over and over again. I have it on DVD. I usually do.
Yeah, me too.
It's a fantastic movie. I used to, you know, as a kid, I used to have those Ghostbusters T-shirts.
Me too.
I had all the gear. I had everything.
Yeah.
And,
did you ever make a proton pack out of a cardboard box?
Cereal boxes.
Yeah. Me too.
I used to take my mother's vacuum hose and attach it.
I know.
Attach to that.
That was a total like missed opportunity. They didn't make the toys until we were already grown.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Other notables I wanted to mention about Bill Murray. Some great ones that he had were Stripes, Meatballs, Caddyshack, which I thought would come up, and
yeah.
Could be anybody's best, and no problem there. Lost in Translations, we talked about. Kingpin.
Oh, yeah.
Ernie McCracken.
Wonderful. Wild Things, The Royal Tenenbaums, Little Shop of Horrors, Matt.
Yes.
Brief cameo.
Yes. But. And then also one of my favorites, another Wes Anderson, is The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, which is fantastic.
I have a couple other fun facts about him.
Oh, please.
That cameo in Little Shop of Horrors came during a four-year hiatus in acting due to the script that he wrote failing so terribly, which was The Razor's Edge.
The Razor's Edge, yeah.
Yeah, and actually he is arguably a Chicago native. He was born and raised in Wilmette.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Oh, wait, here's another really fun one. During his teen years, he was a singer of a rock band, and in 1971, he was arrested at O'Hare trying to smuggle 9 pounds of marijuana.
That's awesome.
That's
all for personal use.
9 pounds.
Good old Bill Murray. We love him. Who doesn't like Bill Murray?
I love him to death. He's the best.
He's one of the best at what he does.
Yeah, definitely. And also one of the best at what he does is the professional, Robert Duvall. This
Bobby.
Guy. A little bit shorter than Bill Murray. He stands 5'8". Get this, Matt. Born January 5th, 1931. He is currently 80 years old.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Shared an apartment with Dustin Hoffman in New York while both were studying acting. He's been divorced 3 times and is still currently married to his 4th wife. Although by the time this podcast posts, we'll see. 6 Oscar nominations. 1 win. The nominations were for Godfather, Apocalypse Now, The Great Santini, Tender Mercies, which he won it for, The Apostle, and A Civil Action.
Interesting. Which one did he win?
He won for Tender Mercies.
Never even heard of this movie.
I have heard of it, and I have not seen it. Huh. We must plead ignorance here on Cinema Jaw.
Yeah.
It'll be on my queue, though. I'll start off again with his most underrated film. And this was sort of a tough guy to handle, again, because it's tough to come up with an underrated. And for me, it's not really all that underrated. I love the film. 1984, I guess his character's a little underrated in the movie, and I'm speaking of The Natural.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic movie.
Yes. Robert Duvall plays Max Mercy, the sports writer who early in the film calls balls and strikes when a young Roy Hobbs strikes out the whammer at the train stop. Then he slowly remembers him 16 years later and brings up his backstory. He plays an awesome sports writer who doesn't really have like a sinister plan. It's just the sports writer trying to get the story out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bobby Duvall, everything he does, I think you believe him in the role. And there's few actors that have been around that long, like Duvall, that you still say that. A lot of times they almost become a caricature of themselves, and you say, oh, well, that's Robert Duvall playing the Apostle or so on or so forth. But with Duvall, I never have that problem. He plays a sports writer. I see a sports writer first.
It's a good pick. I guess for my most underrated, this is one I struggled with, man. Very tempted to say THX 1138 here, but I'm going with the 1993 role as Pendergast in Falling Down, a Michael Douglas vehicle.
Absolutely.
And this is also, once again, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, twice this show.
I know. I mean, this came out in the 90s. I was a teenager, and it was about angst and anger. So, of course, I'm going to latch onto this movie. If you haven't seen the performance with Duvall, he plays the detective that's sort of chasing this guy who has been pushed to the edge just by the grind of daily life. And he's an anti-hero, this guy. And
no
doubt. He goes out and he does some bad things, and he sort of crosses some lines. And Pendergast, who's played by Duvall, is sort of charged with bringing him in. And it's his last day on the force. Everybody's calling him a dinosaur. He's supposed to be retiring. They're putting kitty litter, sand.
Aren't we sick of the last day on the force
cliche
storyline?
Well, perhaps. But Bobby pulls it off in a genuine way.
But put him on the last month. It doesn't have to be the last day every single movie. I hate that.
Yeah, but that's what makes it, you know, this was my last day, you know? That's what makes it, you know, dramatic.
Sure.
So, anyway, I'm a big fan of this movie and a big fan of that performance, man.
Yeah.
It's underrated, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I highly recommend the first 45 minutes of that movie. Afterwards, I don't know. It's wishy-washy near the end. I always say that. I love the beginning when Michael Douglas flips out. But near the end, I think the movie starts to fall apart.
Yeah, there's a bit of a drag right in the getting from the second to third act. But I like the resolution. I like the ending. It's a good movie, man.
Yeah, good underrated pick.
Yeah.
Chris?
Well, you guys probably won't like this one.
Oh, boy.
Nah, go ahead. Throw it at us.
He's not a main character. Obviously, he's overshadowed by actually another little man, Tom Cruise, in Days of Thunder as Harry Hodge.
Wonderful.
It's another kind of favorite movie of mine. It's, you know, something, again, to watch on the weekend afternoon.
Sure.
I always liked him, you know, trying to kind of rein down the hotshot NASCAR driver and plays a couple good jokes on him, too, throughout the movie. I liked seeing kind of a lighter side of Robert Duvall.
Right. Instead of the always so serious.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
It's been a long time for me, too, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate to throw in Tom Cruise movies. But
are you like are you a race car fan?
Not one bit. And that's why I think why this one with Robert Duvall kind of sticks out to me is because it's something I'm not interested in, but I like watching the movie. I like, you know, watching the dynamic between Robert Duvall's character, Harry, he's kind of the pit crew chief.
Yeah.
And this hotshot kid who he's trying to, you know,
Rein in,
yeah. And, you know, make him a winner.
Sure.
I think Robert Duvall did a great job with it, with what he was given.
You've inspired me, Chris. I'm going to go out and actually rewatch Days of Thunder. That's a sentence I never thought I would say.
Bring your PBR, cut your sleeves off of your T-shirt, and rock away, my man.
Enjoy, man. It's a good transition over to my pick for his worst film that he's done, because it's another car movie. It stars the foolish Nick Cage. Speaking of the 2000 film, came out in the year 2000, Gone in 60 Seconds.
That wasn't that bad.
Oh, man. Who are you kidding? It wasn't that bad. It was terrible.
But Angelina Jolie was hot.
The best character in that movie was the Shelby Mustang.
You got Nick Cage doing that foolish hand thing every time he's getting ready to steal a car. He does some type of weird like hand gesture, like he's all ready to do his thing. It's just a joke. But Duvall plays Otto, an old-timer who used to be part of Nick Cage, the foolish Nick Cage, I'm sorry, his old crew that used to steal cars. This is a low point in Duvall's career. This movie with Nick Cage, I say, is stupid. It's retarded. I don't need to see Nick Cage do anything with cars. He's got a new one coming out called Drive Angry. Just looks ridiculous. And it was probably so to Duvall as like they really needed him to bring a little bit of credibility to this crap movie that Matt somehow likes, and he didn't pull it off. Shame on you, Robert Duvall. Shame on you.
Come on. It's not that bad, dude.
It's got the foolish Nick Cage in it.
It was a good action
piece.
Doing
silly hand gestures before he steals the cars.
Ah, you know. You got to lighten up a little, Rye.
No.
It was a good action film. I've got a bad action film as my pick. Ready?
Ooh.
This was when The Governator started really going downhill. I'm talking about The Sixth Day, also a 2000 film.
I have not seen this one. It just looked terrible. I stayed away.
I mean, it's got a great cast. Michael Rapaport, Tony Goldwyn, and Michael Rooker, who was the dad in Mallrats, amongst other roles he's played. He was in Walking Dead recently. Anyway, I'm getting off topic here. Robert Duvall is in this film. It's a stinker. It's about a dude who finds out that he's a clone of himself or something, and there's a big conspiracy, and it just sucked. It just sucked.
Yeah. Sorry, Duvall couldn't even save it.
No, Duvall could not save this movie one bit.
So we got two stinkers, Gone in 60 Seconds and The Sixth Day. Let's see if Chris can pile on.
Well, I'm definitely going to pile on with another bomb here. This movie is called Kicking and Screaming.
I haven't seen it.
This is the soccer movie with Will Ferrell.
We got Will Ferrell.
Oh, that's right.
Another bright spot is Coach Mike Ditka in there. However,
Coach.
Yeah, it's just not good. Robert Duvall is Will Ferrell's father in the movie. Owns a couple chains of sports equipment stores. And they're both battling for soccer little league supremacy. And it's just awful. You hate to see a guy with this kind of character
stoop to that level.
Be in this type of character.
And if I told you that there was going to be a movie starring Will Ferrell, Robert Duvall, and Dacoach Ditka, everybody would be lining up to see it until you saw this piece of junk.
You know, yeah, Will Ferrell's really had more bad movies than good.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. It's the good ones, though, that are so, iconic of his that carry him on. But, yeah, that guy's got a load of junk under his belt, no doubt about it.
Yeah, no pun intended.
Yeah. Now, on to his best. Let's take Duvall out on a high note here. I got, boy, oh, boy, 1979 Apocalypse Now.
I would be in agreement with you.
And it's a small role by Duvall, but it's just such a fantastic role. I don't even watch this movie through all the time, but I'll watch those few scenes with Duvall constantly. Of course, the famous line, I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Sure. Yeah.
Duvall plays Colonel Bill Kilgore, a surfer type, head of the U.S. Army Helicopter Cavalry Group, which eliminates a Viet Cong outpost to provide an entry point into the river that they're going down. Like I say, small role by Duvall. The movie, for me, it takes moods to get into. It's not one that I can just sit down, as we like to say during this episode. You're just sitting on your couch and you come across it, and I like to get into it. For me, it's more of like a mood point. I got to be ready for Apocalypse Now. But as far as just scenes, I can watch the Duvall scenes anytime.
Yeah, I agree, man. That's another one I haven't given a spin in a really long time. I got to do it. I can hear the choppers in my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, Flight of the Valkyries.
All right. For me, I mentioned this one before. Once again, one of my favorite movies of all time, THX-1138.
Yes.
I love it. Love it. Love this movie. Robert Duvall, it's in a dystopian future, kind of like 1984-esque, and love is the ultimate crime. And he commits the ultimate crime by boinking his roommate. They stop taking their drugs that make them docile. And basically he rebels against this underground society. And a chase ensues. It's really cool.
Yeah, and it should be noted that this was George Lucas's first feature film. It
definitely should be noted, yes. Yeah. And then afterwards he gave us Jar Jar Binks.
He gave us a lot more than that.
Yeah, he sure did. He sure did.
Strong pick, Chris. We got one more to pile on Duvall's good side.
Well, before I came to meet you guys over here at the original Mothers, I was watching AMC today, and they had Godfather and Godfather 2 on.
Oh, it had to be said.
And I'm sorry. Again, yeah, it has to be said. This is just an iconic role that he's played in Francis Ford Coppola's Godfather. I mean, these are the movies that are repetitively, the lines are a part of us.
You know? Yeah, oh, yeah.
The scenes are a part of us. Even when you sit down with your family, you know, at some sort of dinner or something like that, you can kind of like place yourself with the Corleone family as well. You know, at some of their dinners and some of their outings and some of their get-togethers. So it was great. He's the adopted son of Vito Corleone, mm-hmm. Tom Hagen, the family lawyer, the concierge to Michael Corleone. So it's just a great role that he was a part of. I'm sure he lucked into that one, too.
Yeah. Well,
I think probably they all did. You know, I don't think anyone knew the success that movie would bring.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's tough. I mean, really, we couldn't bring up Duvall without bringing up the Godfather film. So I knew they had to come up. So good, strong pick there. Other notables I have for Duvall were, we mentioned Days of Thunder, Colors with Sean Penn, where he plays the police officer, Sling Blade.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Love that movie.
Gods and Generals. Civil War film. Secondhand Lions with
Michael Caine.
Yeah. Wasn't all that bad. And that also had little Haley Joel Osment. It was an all right film.
I liked it, yeah.
Crazy Heart just came out with Jeff Bridges.
Sure.
And, of course, THX 1138. I don't know.
Four Christmases, which you always go on and on about.
God. That could have, you know, I haven't sat through the whole thing. If I had, I would have then said that that would have been maybe his worst.
I thought you liked this film.
No, I don't like Four Christmases.
Oh, thank God, man.
What else you got from him?
Thank You for Smoking.
Yes. Fantastic.
We already mentioned Kicking and Screaming. He was in John Q briefly. You know, man, the list goes on and on. It's freaking Robert Duvall.
Yeah.
So.
And, of course, we are doing this in-depth on Robert Duvall and Bill Murray because they have a new film out on DVD today called Get Low. So get down with Get Low and give that one a spin.
Yep. I'm looking for some trivia here. He studied acting with Sanford Meisner at the Neighborhood Playhouse School of Theater in New York. I don't know who Sanford Meisner is, do you?
No, I don't.
I don't either, but apparently that was sufficient enough for IMDb to list that amongst his trivia facts. So,
interesting. So there you have our Bill Murray, Robert Duvall in depth. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we got a few things. One, we threw a poll question out to the Jawheads, Matt. The question was, best high school comedy out of these three films, American Pie, Superbad, and Heathers. Matt, I'm going to let you cast a vote when we get back, and we'll see if you can predict who the Jawheads said what film was the best.
Okay.
And we got DVD reviews and Chris versus Matt in Johnny Depp trivia.
You're going down.
Let's get it on.
We'll be right back on Cinema Jaw.
Hi, I'm Matt Kay with a Cinema Jaw movie fact. In Apocalypse Now, Robert Duvall's character, Colonel Bill Kilgore, was loosely based on author and syndicated columnist Colonel David H. Hackworth's exploits in Vietnam. Hackworth, born and raised in Southern California, commanded a helicopter air cavalry brigade in which pilots actually wore Civil War campaign hats and flew in helicopters with crosswords painted on them. And that is your Cinema Jaw movie fact.
And we are back on Cinema Jaw, Matt. Before we get to trivia, Chris versus yourself, and let me remind the Jawheads out there, Matt now is currently 2-4 on the year, and he's on a 3-game losing streak on trivia. Before we get to that...
Wait, 2 wins, 4 losses?
Yes, two wins, four losses.
The numbers are stacked against you, my friend.
They are.
Before we get to that, I had mentioned this poll question. Best high school comedy out of these three, American Pie, Superbad, or Heathers? And I'm going to ask you your opinion, who you voted for. I threw this out to Twitter and Facebook. We got some emails on it. And all the results are in. Matt, out of that question, best high school comedy, American Pie, Superbad, or Heathers, who would you vote for?
I'd vote for Heathers.
All right, Heathers. Yeah. So your vote's casted in here for Heathers. And who do you think the Jawheads voted for? What do you got here?
I think Superbad might be the darling of the Jawheads.
Ooh,
that's just my guess.
Well, let me tell you what came in first here. Heathers.
Really?
Yes, wow. Heathers.
Some intelligent viewers.
With 41% of the votes.
Wow, a decisive win. That's better than Rahm Emanuel.
Second place was American Pie with 33% of the vote.
Wow, Superbad coming in third.
And Superbad, your darling, actually came in last with 26% of the vote.
Wasn't my darling. I picked Heathers. Let's not forget. I'm with the Jawheads on this one.
And a couple of comments on this one. Will Allison, a friend of mine and a big fan of the show, he had said, where the hell is the Breakfast Club in this poll question? But that isn't the question.
Yeah, it's not the question.
No. Ken Haley, he wanted Fast Times at Ridgemont High, as did via Twitter, at Miriana EMH, also wanted Fast Times at Ridgemont High. A lot of people were asking for that, but I was just asking of those three. Everyone
wants to do a write-in, you know?
Yeah, I agree, and I want no write-ins. The question is, as the question was, and that was because I had just saw Heathers, because it was a 1988 film, and we had just recapped 1988. And that was why the poll question came up, and why the Jawheads voted for Heathers. But another film that we had mentioned during that Jaw retrospective was Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Matt had mentioned it. I had not seen it. Rescue Me, Reno, rescued me and brought in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels for me to watch. I watched it this week, Matt. My key observation is they just don't make movies like this anymore.
No.
A smart, intelligent comedy, well written throughout. It's
well filmed.
Yes, well filmed. Everything about it. Usually nowadays, what you have is a lot of like quick one-liners throughout. A lot of improv they love to do, and then see what works, and those sometimes make the cut or whatnot. This is like just a well shot, well told, well constructed comedy all the way around, and you got two professionals pulling it off. Steve Martin and Michael Caine, who are absolutely fantastic in this movie. Chris, have you seen it?
A long time ago.
And my favorite part...
It's a great movie.
You played a clip from it, Matt, with the testicles dropping, which was hysterical also.
Yeah.
But I love the part when he's got the cork on his fork right before that part.
Yeah. Why is the cork on the fork? To prevent him hurting himself and others.
And then he asks at one point, he goes, "Can I go to the bathroom?" And they're like, "Yes." Oh, I love it. And then he just sits there. And
thank
he's
you.
Like, thank you.
Yeah. Rupert, right?
Rupert.
Yes.
Rupert.
Yep. It's just a fantastic movie. And another great thing, too, is it's one of those, it isn't like a huge cliffhanger, but I really wasn't sure how exactly it was going to end. You know, it's a con movie. You're going to get sort of switched around a little bit at the end, and it totally had me fooled.
I agree. Me, too. I mean... great film.
So sitting here as a listener of Cinema Jaws, you had told me to listen to Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, and I did. Big fan. So I hope all the Jawheads check that one out.
Excellent. I like it.
Speaking of DVD reviews, before we get to trivia, Matt, we got a couple here. I caught Red this week. I got Bruce Willis, Morgan Freeman, John Malkovich, Mary Louise Parker, and Helen Mirren star in this action comedy that I found to be a little bit better in the laughs department than the explosions department. The reason? The humor works so well. John Malkovich and Mary Louise Parker, they steal the show. Parker plays a girl Bruce Willis's character kidnaps because her life is now in danger due to the fact that he has feelings for her. John Malkovich, on the other hand, plays a conspiracy nut. Willis's character is a former CIA agent that is now targeted by current CIA agents for witnessing an event in his past. Actually, the story, Matt, let's not kid around, is not all that important here. I found the movie to be fun, but in my opinion, not nearly as good as Kick-Ass, another sort of action comedy film from last year. Red was light fun. But will it be all that memorable? I don't think so. I'm giving this one 2.5 Jaws or a grade of a C+.
It's passable.
Passable. I agree. Don't run out and get it. The other one I caught, Matt, was Please Give. This small comedy drama written and directed by Nicole Hoffensensor stars Catherine Keener.
Hoffensensor?
Damn right. Catherine Keener and Oliver Platt and Amanda Peet. The story is very, very character-driven. Keener and Platt... Their characters are married and own a business that buys unique furniture pieces from people who die and whose kids don't know any better. Then they turn around and sell the furniture for big bucks. Meanwhile, they live next door to an old lady whose apartment they have already purchased so they can expand their own place and are basically waiting for her to die. The themes in this film are not simplistic, and the story does not wrap up in a nice bow at the end. For all the praise that the film The Kids Are All Right got, I would have liked to see the attention to be a little bit shared with this comedy, as I think this was just as strong, if not better. Matt, I'm giving Please Give 3 Jaws or a grade of a B, and I must also mention the hilarious opening scene of numerous and numerous different breasts of young, old, skinny, fat women.
You've caught my attention,
that
right?
Are being scanned for radiology technicians. They're constantly being propped up. It's just like a joke of all these different breasts. Starts off hilarious. Very, very well written. Give this one a spin. It's a little bit of a hidden gem. It's called Please Give. It's out on DVD.
I love it.
That'll go in my queue very shortly.
Yes, just for the breasts alone.
Correct.
All right, I caught one called Beer Wars.
Beer Wars?
Beer Wars. If you ever... It's a documentary. So if you ever wonder what the secret conspiracies were behind the beer industry, you should watch this film. It's the Fahrenheit 9/11 of beer.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm probably giving it way too much credit here.
No, it's a very interesting story. I mean, the Bush family.
And, yeah. Oh, yeah. They get into that.
Yeah. That's a very interesting story. I don't know a lot about it, so I'm going to have to actually check out the DVD. But
yeah, definitely. As someone in the liquor industry, you'd really enjoy this. I actually wanted them to go a little bit more in-depth on it, but basically what it's about is the craft breweries being shut out of the market by the
giants.
Giants. And at the time, this is before MillerCoors merged, and before InBev bought AB. So it was a different time in beer, but things were changing. It's by filmmaker Annette Barron, who was herself involved with the industry. She was part of Mike's Hard Lemonade for a while.
Okay.
She was a bigwig in the industry herself, and using all her connections, she made this film. And it's really informative. Would have liked to see her get a little bit more pissy with it. I think she was trying to save some face at the end of the day. So, yeah, it wasn't as daring as Michael Moore, but it was good.
How many Jaws?
Jaws, 2.75.
2.75 Jaws on the Beer Wars.
Yeah.
I like it. I should comment, too, that I have a martini here of Yes Vodka, because we have Chris here from Yes Vodka.
Yes.
And it may be the first martini glass ever had at Mother's back room here.
could be.
They're used to plastic cups.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying my Yes Vodka, and you guys should, too, you jawheads at home.
I just want to thank you guys for allowing me to be a part of this.
Oh, it's our pleasure, man.
To kind of coincide with what you guys do here, Yes Vodka on our Facebook page is doing a... we are kicking off our week-long salute to the 2010 Best Pictures nominees for the Oscars.
Nice.
With different martini recipes. So this week's was the True Grit Dirty Martini. As well as another one coming up here, we have the Yes Vodka Cran Creeper, which is a salute to The Social Network.
Nice.
We've all gotten our creep on the Social Network, correct?
I do it daily.
So definitely get out there and like the Yes Vodka page on Facebook for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
If you're a fan of film, you can make these drinks at home that sort of go along with the theme of your movie. You're having a party at home.
Enjoy your Oscar party with Yes Vodka. Please do.
Exactly.
All right, now to the main event. Like I said, Matt is coming off a 3-game losing streak on the trivia. He is 2-4 in 2011.
Here we go.
In honor of Rengo, the new film opening up starring Johnny Depp, we have Johnny Depp trivia. Chris, you're our guest. You get to choose if you want to go first or let Matt go first. There are steals involved.
But no lifelines tonight.
No lifelines today. We're running short on time.
Ladies first.
Whoa. Low blow,
so you're
Matt.
Going first then?
Correct.
Yeah. All right.
I'll go first. That's
all right. Over to Miss Matt. Here we go. Question number one. Johnny Depp starred opposite Leonardo DiCaprio and a real fat lady in this 1993 film.
What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
1-0, Matt K. We throw it over to Chris.
I need this win.
That was Leo's best role, too.
Yeah, probably.
Johnny Depp played Sir Matthew Barry, who wrote the play Peter Pan in this 2004 film. He was a playwright who wrote Peter Pan in this 2004 film. Peter Pan being a very big clue.
Yep.
It doesn't seem like Chris is finding the answer.
I'm going to say Hook. I know it's wrong.
Finding Neverland.
2-0, Matt K. 2-0, Matt K.
Darn it.
And this question is over to Matt K. Who was Johnny Depp's wife in The Astronaut's Wife?
She was the astronaut's wife.
Incorrect. We throw it over to Chris. Chris, you got a chance for a steal. This is...
She was Johnny Depp's wife in The Astronaut's Wife.
We were looking for Charlize Theron.
That was my next guess.
Charlize Theron.
All right, it's still 2-0, Matt K. This question's over to Chris. Johnny Depp played Joe Pistone. Maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong. Joe Pistone, who might better be known by his alias in this 1997 film that also starred...
Bobby Duvall.
No.
Al Pacino.
Al Pacino, correct.
Donnie Brasco.
2-1, this question is over to Matt K.
The Chinese restaurant scene,
yes.
Awesome.
Very good.
In the Pirate of the Caribbean movies, obviously he played the main guy, but who played the character Will Turner?
Oh, the guy from the Lord of the Rings movie. Give me a second, I will come up with this name.
Boy, oh boy, he is really thinking. This is unbelievable. Matt K, again, he has lost
this doesn't
three
make it
in
easier.
A row. He is struggling here. He is struggling here. He's got 3 seconds, folks.
I know his name.
He knows his name, but he can't come up with it. One too many Yes Vodkas for Matt K today, folks. Chris, you have a chance for a steal. Let's see if this can maybe If you think about it, maybe it's going to bloom into your head.
Oh, you son of a
bloom.
Bitch.
Something bloom. I
you
got to
get the first name.
I want to say...
gave him a clue there. We'll see if it works.
Arturo Bloom. Something like
Orlando
that.
Bloom.
Orlando.
Oh, we're all wrong there. It's still 2-1. It's still 2-1. He didn't
get it. Was that right?
I'm not giving it to him. You were right, but I'm not giving it to
you.
All right. Still 2-1. Still 2-1, Matt Kay. This question's over to Chris. Johnny Depp played Ed Wood in the film Ed Wood, but who played the famous actor Bela Lugosi? I'll give you one hint. He won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor that year over Samuel L. Jackson for Pulp Fiction, if that helps at all.
Travolta?
He won for Supporting Actor for Pulp Fiction?
No.
He beat Sam
beat
Jackson.
Out Samuel L. Jackson. Oh. Here's the question for you, Matt. Johnny Depp played Ed Wood in the film Ed Wood, but who played the famous actor Bela Lugosi?
Some fat guy, Ricky Gervais. I don't know.
Martin Landau. All right.
Orlando Bloom.
Still 2-1. Still 2-1. Matt, you can win it here, or you can give Chris a chance for the tie.
It's a low-scoring game. It's like hockey.
The tagline for this 1999 Johnny Depp film was, "The only thing more terrifying than searching for the devil is finding him."
1999?
Yes.
Johnny Depp film, 1999. The Secret Window.
Chris, you have a chance for a steal. The tagline for this 1999 Johnny Depp film was, "The only thing more terrifying than searching for the devil is finding him."
It's a terrible tagline, by the way.
That is really bad. So bad that I do not remember.
It was The Ninth Gate. The Ninth Gate.
I only go to 8 gates.
I'm a 7-gate man myself.
Hey, we give the win to Matt K. finally.
Yeah!
Wow.
2-1, mind you. 2-1.
Congratulations. You were due.
It was the hockey of trivia. Right
there were jawbreakers. Just in case there were a tie, Chris, better movie pirate, One-Eyed Willie or Jack Sparrow?
Ooh. Although Jack Sparrow was based off of Keith Richards, basically, I still have to go with One-Eyed Willie.
Gotta give One-Eye Willie.
One-Eyed Willie. Yeah.
The real jawbreaker was this. Martin Landau, who I had talked about. The age of Martin Landau. Closest to?
65.
Chris?
84.
We would have gave that to Chris, 82.
Wow.
But Matt K. picks up a win.
Congratulations,
well done,
my friend. Well
Thank
done.
You.
Job
about,
well
it's
done.
About time. Let's get the clapping sound effect on the...
Oh, the old clapping sound effect. Let's see if we have it.
Thank you. I'll be here all week. Try the veal.
Matt finally breaks his losing streak. And what can we say? Another great job.
Yep. Does that bring us to the end?
It does.
Yeah. All right.
We always run out of time on Hollywood headlines.
I know. Let's just do it.
We'll do one each really quick,
right.
Matt. Go.
All right, Tim Burton may have found his Elizabeth Collins Stoddard. The director is quickly assembling the cast for a big screen version of the 60s supernatural soap opera Dark Shadows, with Johnny Depp leading the cast as Barnabas Collins. Now he's got Michelle Pfeiffer.
Ooh, Michelle Pfeiffer in there also.
Yeah, dude, what is she, like 75 years old at this point?
Yeah, you're not kidding. I haven't heard from her in a long time.
They're going to stuff her roles into a cat suit or...
How about this one, Matt? Warner Brothers is rebooting its 1992 hit, The Bodyguard, the film that paired Kevin Costner with Whitney Houston. Do you want to see another Bodyguard?
No. I didn't want to see the first Bodyguard.
I agree.
Does this mean another crappy-ass song from Whitney Houston that everybody at karaoke night is going to attempt and fail to sing?
Oh, boy, you're not kidding. Last one, famous tweet that I had this week, John Favreau tweeted this week, "My kids just discovered Ren and Stimpy on streaming Netflix."
Brilliant. I just watched that too. Madness.
They're going to have a very happy childhood.
Just like we did.
That's right.
It's logged.
Well adjusted.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, Chris, thanks for coming on Cinema Jaw.
Thank you, guys.
You
I appreciate
awesome
it.
Guest.
You guys are great. Thank you so much.
To all the Jawheads, get out there and check out the Yes Vodka Facebook page.
And drink Yes Vodka. It's even easier. Just go to the liquor store.
Absolutely. I got a martini rocking right here, and I'm going to be rocking it soon in the night.
Yeah, me too. We're getting drunk.
Yeah.
We got some damage to do tonight, boys.
Sounds
so
good.
Check us out on Twitter.
Follow us on Facebook.
Shoot us an email. Want to thank our sponsors, PBR and Stranger Days Radio.
And the best in the biz, did we mention Steve Mrazek? Reno.
Absolutely.
He's the best.
Till next week, guys. Keep on jawing about the movies.